Mitch Resnick is the next speaker. Conspicuously is everybody's media lab. And Mitch, you came as a student, actually.
Yes.
Boy, yikes. Well, we're very incestuous. We hire our own. Mitch has been doing all the computer and learning work here. Yeah, the MIT tradition. And it's all yours.
Great. Thanks, Nicholas. I was going to talk today about sowing the seeds for a more creative society. And you know, as I've traveled around the world, one of the things that I hear that's in common almost everywhere I travel is that there's a growing recognition that success in the future, whether it's for an individual or for a community or for a country as a whole, is going to be based on the ability to think and act creatively. It's no longer enough to just master a certain set of facts or skills, but I think everyone around the world is recognizing the innovation, the ability to think creatively, to come up with new solutions to unexpected problems. That's really going to be the key to success and happiness in the years ahead. But one of the real challenges is that most of our schools around the world aren't really set up to prepare young people to grow up as creative thinkers. So what we really focus on in our work is, how can we help young people today grow up as creative thinkers so that they're prepared for a world that's going to expect and require creative thinking more than ever before? As we've thought about this, we've often been inspired just by the way the very young children learn as they grow up. So we've developed what we sometimes call the creative learning spiral. And if you think about the way young children often go about learning, one day, you know, a child might start to think about, well, I want to sort of play with a house today. And they might start, they have an idea in their mind, and they start creating. They might sort of take out some wooden blocks and start building a house. They might have some Lego bricks. Or they might go outside and use natural materials with sticks and stones and make a little house. And they start by creating things. They'll start playing with it. Maybe they'll make little characters that go inside their house, and they'll start playing with it. They'll invite a friend over. They'll start sharing their house, and they'll start playing together with it. Maybe somebody will start building a house next to it. Maybe as they play with the houses, one of the houses falls down, and they have to think about, why did that fall down? And maybe their older sister or one of their parents will come over and point out that if the house is bigger on the base than at the top, it will be more stable. So they'll think about what makes for a good house. If I can get the technology working. And then through those different reflecting on it, they'll get new ideas, and they'll start imagining and start to create new things. Now, this type of creative learning spiral we see with young children, but all too often, as children get older and move into school, they go into schools that are based too much on this metaphor of just pouring information into children's heads. But why is it that that happens? Because we know that young children are such successful and creative learners. And for me, I think one of the reasons this happens is because we haven't had the right technologies, the right tools, the right media. That, again, if you have wooden blocks, it's great for children learning about number and shape and size. But as children learn more, wants to learn more advanced ideas and work on more advanced projects, we haven't necessarily had the right material. And this is where I think new technologies in general, and the XO in particular, can make its biggest impact, is to help young children as they grow older continue to use the creative learning spiral to learn more advanced ideas, work on more advanced projects. So what we've been working on is to say, how can we help children as they continue to grow continue to learn in this way through this creative learning spiral? So I'll talk today about a couple different projects we've worked on to show how you can extend the way computers are used to help children continue to learn in this way, the creative learning spiral. The first project I'll talk about is the one that Gloriana mentioned earlier called Scratch. And that's a project that actually was deeply inspired by the next speaker, Alan Kay. Alan and I have known each other for years. And as I saw the work that Alan and his group were doing on their project eToys, which many of you are familiar with, I was greatly inspired by the way it enabled children to make interactive stories and interactive games. But we watched it, you know, take some of those ideas and mix them with some of the ideas that we'd been working on here at the Media Lab. And then we've been sharing ideas back and forth. And through those efforts, we came up with this software called Scratch. Again, you can think of it as a new type of toolkit to make dynamic, interactive stories, games, animations. Let me show you an example. Here's an example that was created by a 12-year-old boy in India, in Bangalore, from a very, very poor neighborhood in Bangalore. And he started to use Scratch and decided he'd been learning about the different layers of the earth. Let me start the project that he created. So you can see, mixed together, he created these graphics. He has his own voice going over, had music that he brings together. And he's described, he's talking his native language, we don't necessarily understand, but he's described the different layers of the earth as, you know, talk about the journey to the center of the earth. So in doing this, he's sharing his knowledge with others, but also just the act of constructing it, he's learning to use, you know, use mathematics in a meaningful way for him. Like if he decides that he wants to make this object here spin, change how quickly it's spinning. He could go in and here's the language that he used to create this spinning object. And he could say, rather than turning 90 degrees at a time, if he turns 1 degree at a time, it's going more slowly. So it's a way to just, you know, even as it's going, to continue to play with it, to tinker with the materials the same way you would play with wooden blocks, but now with the electronic materials for building different behaviors for the way you're communicating with the world. Let me show one more example. Here's an example that was done by a boy about the same age, about the same age, but actually halfway around the world. He was in Los Angeles, where he was making a game where this fish, it was a game where a fish would be eating another small fish. So I'm guiding the big fish to try to eat the little fish. So when I saw him, he showed me this game. And again, I really enjoyed seeing the game that he had created. But then I started to talk to him, and he said, well, what he really wanted to do was, he wanted to be able to keep score in this game. So I showed him the way you could do is, here there's a place called variables, and I could create a variable called score. And I showed him this says change the score by one, and you notice there's now a little scoreboard up here, and he immediately saw that if you put this change score into his program, where the big fish eats the little fish, they would increment the score. So he saw that and he reached out and he said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And what I thought was, I wonder how many school teachers have been thanked by their children for teaching them variables. It usually doesn't happen. But here was something that it really was something he wanted to learn because he could make use of it right away. So I think our idea is to give children the tools that they need and they want to be able to continue to express themselves, experiment in meaningful ways, but in the process, learn a lot of these important ideas and learn powerful ideas, what Seymour Papert would call powerful ideas for understanding the world around them. But I think one of the most important parts as we started to create Scratch was not just what individual children can do, but as we developed Scratch, we developed a website at the same time. So here's the Scratch website that you can go to, and it's a little bit like YouTube, where people can share their creations, but rather than sharing videos, children can share their Scratch projects with one another. Since we put this up online about a year ago, there have been more than 130,000 projects put up here by children around the world. There's now a new project every 2 minutes on average. There's a new project that goes up by children around the world. And you can not just experiment with the projects, you know, online, but you can actually see and say, how does this work, and get ideas from the way that other people have created their projects. So we've seen all different types of collaborations happen as children start working together on the Scratch website. So like here, this was a project that was put up by a girl in Ireland. And instead of putting up a whole project, she put up just a character, an animated character, several different animated characters. And she said, I like making individual characters. If you like my characters, please feel free to use them. Here's a different project that was just coming up. And she was saying that with her projects, actually, I better turn off the other project that's running. So with her project here,
She was making characters, said, please feel free to use it for project. Or if you want a different project, please write me a note and I'll make a character for you. So she was like offering her consulting services to other children around the world. So actually a girl in Russia said, actually I'm making a game, could you make a character? So she made this character, and here's the game that they created together. And then a boy in New Jersey said, I have a new idea for the game, can I join in? And they made another one. So you can see this one, it says it's made by one person based on the project of another. So we call these remixes, where children are taking each other's projects and adding to them. Of those 130,000 projects, more than 20,000 of the projects are collaborations, where one child is built on top of the projects of the others. And they're all learning from one another and building on top of what they have done. So these are things where we're trying to see how we can build a worldwide community of young people who are creating and working together and sharing their creations to learn from one another. This is something that, again, we've had ready for the past year, and more recently, we've made a version of this available for the XO, so people can now go to the activities site and download the Scratch for using on the XO. And we're looking to see how we can continue to extend this, you know, as it gets out to the world. So we're looking at other ways that you can reach out even beyond the computer. One of the things that we've been doing is to have, in addition to just controlling on the screen, we have a little board called the Scratch Board that you can then use to have sensors control the things in your game. It's always wonderful when you put this out and you travel around the world and you see the creative ways that children are using it. I was in Hong Kong, and then I saw this project where children had created a project in Scratch. And that this is like a saw that you move back and forward. And you'll see in this video that as you move the saw back and forward, it controls the characters on the screen. So children are making their own interface devices. So here they were making use of a light sensor. And as you move it back and forward, it could see the holes as it goes back and forward to be able to control things on the screen. And this idea between controlling things in the physical world and the virtual world, we think is very important, because we want children to grow up seeing themselves as being able to express themselves in all different ways, whether it's on the screen, in the physical world. This is something that we've done for many years around here at the Media Lab. As many of you know, we've had a long association with the Lego Toy Company, where we've been connecting computers and Lego building, where Lego, again, is a great inspiration for us, is a great way for children to learn by designing and creating. And again, we've worked for more than 20 years, first starting with Seymour Papert and myself and others here, working with Lego to create different types of construction kits that also have computers built into it. Many of you are probably familiar with the Lego Mindstorms kit, where Lego sold more than 1 million of these around the world. This was when I was in Singapore. This was the national champion they introduced me to of their Lego robot design competition. But there is a challenge and a problem, even though this has been very successful around the world. Right now, you know, the Lego Mindstorms kit costs more than an XO computer. And in fact, Nicholas gave us a challenge. When the latest version of the Lego Mindstorms came out, Nicholas sent me an email, and he said, you know, I've always, you know, thought that Mindstorms was wonderful, but if we can make a $100 laptop, surely they could make a less expensive Mindstorms. And I think he's very right, you know, that with all of these, it doesn't make sense to have this, you know, peripheral that costs more than the computer. So over the last 2 years, we've been working closely together with the Lego company on a new robotics kit that's more in the scale and the spirit of the XO laptop. And this is something that, in fact, will be, you know, ready, and this will be announced later this year, will be available in 2009, and we've been testing it this year already. We've been down in Brazil testing out the early prototypes. And here you can see some examples from in Brazil at some of the schools using XOs. And it uses a programming language that we worked on with Lego that's very similar to the Scratch programming that I talked about. Let me show you a video about some of these experiences of the children in the schools in Brazil as they started trying out with their XOs this new robotics activities. So here they're making a little mechanical device to kick a soccer ball. So it's used from second grade to sixth grade in this school. And again, the children are both building in the physical world and then building behaviors on the computer screen. building both structures and mechanisms. Again, learning about the science of different types of mechanical devices. And then also learning about the systematic thinking that goes with programming those devices. Here's the programming they're doing. Again, you can see the math is also just inherent in this activity of measuring out and counting and figuring out how to create the things.
De acordo com o que você estiver desenvolvendo em termos de planejamento, você tem mais condições de atingir os diferentes tipos de aprendizado que as crianças têm. Né? Algumas são mais visuais, outras são mais...
And again, as others have mentioned, really trying to build on the different styles and approaches to learning, to be supportive of kids that learn, you know, through physical activity, through but visual learners and others. Here's the programming that they're doing. So if you have someone kicking the ball, you need someone stopping the ball as well. And again, the teacher saw the way this connected into learning about the math and the science of these activities. So, you know, again, these are things that we're continuing to work on to extend the possibilities with the EXO. That will be available next year. Again, we already have a version of Scratch that's on the EXO, and we'll continue to enhance it. I also just want to mention, we have this worldwide community of people using Scratch. We're having a conference here this summer. Again, if people are interested, please feel free to ask me more about it or go to the website to find out more about the things we're doing. And we look forward to working together with you to extend the possibilities of the things you're doing with the EXOs. Thank you very much.
Is Lego really announcing the... That's pretty extraordinary. Where are all the reporters in the room?
Lego can make an official announcement later this year, but they said they could sort of pre-announce.
We could leak it. Okay.
Yes.
That's great.
So they're going to officially announce it later this year with the official name and the details, but they said it's fine to let you know that it's coming.
I believe Peru is the world's largest consumer of Mindstorms per capita, right?
Isn't it true?
Yes, Peru's at the 7th.